Hello and welcome to episode 52, season 2, episode 7 to be exact, of the D Hoop University podcast. This is your host, Daryl Harris, also known as D Hoopster. And let's do it. Episode 7, 7 Bucks in a Dream, lucky number 7, 7 Club. Plenty of good numerology to get things going on this episode. We are less than 2 weeks from WrestleMania 40, and we are on the heels of one of the best episodes of Monday Night Raw in recent memory. In order to get us all in the spirit of WrestleMania, we're focusing on the main events. We got my guys here. Big Shug is back. Justin Walker is back. We are here to discuss somebody who I liken to Floyd Mayweather, and that being Roman Reigns. Floyd is undeniable. Can you say that he is inarguably the greatest? You can't. There's weight classes, there's eras, the whole nine. What Roman has done, bringing the company to new heights, it's undeniable. And we've got two incredibly anticipated matches to look forward to. Let's get into this preview. Without further ado, let's talk some wrestling. From WrestleMania 40 XL in Philly. This happens every year, but this is the biggest WrestleMania ever. Here we are, and I have two peers, fellow wrestling enthusiasts, who are gonna get this going with me, because this is the thing. I've been really wanting to have a definitive podcast that does a lot of things, because right now this is a great time to use this word. I think WWE has like the zeitgeist in their palms, right? Did I do that right?
They're in the zeitgeist. They are as big as they've ever been.
Yeah.
Right. Gotta now, be. This build to WrestleMania, as messy as it has been, it's been great television, and it looks like we're going to get a slobber knocker at WrestleMania 40. So I'm going to let Justin open things up a little bit, because you set the internet on fire, for one. The internet is ablaze. They're not the same before and after your contributions. And I'm happy to have feel like I was in the green room a little bit for some of this.
Oh, you were.
You and I,
you were.
We definitely, you know, had plenty of banter about the bloodline while we should have been working. And at least that parlayed into a viral video.
Somewhat, yeah. Semi-viral, yeah. It's, yeah, you were there when that idea was cooking. That was, I do think I had a few moments where I turned to you and was like, wait a second. This is like this, and this is just like this. And you're just like, cook. You're like, go cook. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, man, it comes from talking about wrestling in a real, I don't know, just artistic, appreciative way. Because what's going on right now, even a year ago, a year and a half ago, when Sammy Mania or Sammy Uso was at full speed, people were saying that this bloodline story is arguably the greatest story WWE's ever told. And that was well before we've added all these pages to the story. No pun intended with the story. But when you look at it in the big picture, they're doing some incredible storytelling that you likened to the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, and I don't know how much it had to do with... I think what you're saying is right. It has more to do with WWE and wrestling in general telling stories than it has to do with, oh, this is exactly like the MCU. No, it's just every story has stuff in common. You could find... You could probably say, you could take Star Wars and you could take Marvel and say, okay, these are alike in these certain ways. But I haven't seen a time in wrestling, at least in my life, where they were telling such a cohesive story over such an extended period of time that you can make those correlations with, you know, classic, you know, storytelling and you know, just the hero's journey and stuff like that. That didn't happen as much in the 90s, you know. Short attention span of the Attitude Era. It didn't when it goes back to the 80s as much. These are long-term stories where they're making decisions today that will come into play in 6 months, and we've never seen it. So I don't know. Some people in the comment section of that video took it to mean that I was saying that they were ripping off Marvel. That's really not it. What it is that they're telling stories in such a way where we can see the long-term effects. And quite frankly, Marvel was one of the first movie franchises to actually do that, to the point where you would see a movie today that had elements of 10 years ago in it, and you could, you know, it rewarded the long-term viewing. Well, wrestling is finally getting there. That's what I meant, is it's exciting because we're seeing these similarities in storytelling.
Shug, you a big Marvel guy?
I am. So I'm just a comic book guy in general. Funny story. Are you familiar with the bowl cut kid from WrestleMania?
The bowl
way
cut
back kid. In the day.
Not I.
Yeah. So like it's this real hype kid in like the front row. They use him as a meme sometime. I'll send a picture a little bit later. But he's a good friend of mine now. And I was wearing a 007 shirt. And he was like, hey, are you into wrestling? Because a lot of people who like wrestling also like the same other things. So like we could have a comic book conversation and really get into it. So yeah, I definitely can see the similarities in what you were saying. Like from last Friday's SmackDown, I got a real Civil War vibe from that. Like it was just a standoff. And everyone had a sort of their counterpart. It wasn't that Cody and Seth were outmanned like they usually are. Yeah, I 100% agree. We haven't had a storyline that has spanned 4 years with someone remaining healthy, because again, this is a contact sport. This is full contact. This could have never happened before COVID. This could have never happened before Roman taking his more relaxed schedule. And, you know, we complain about it, but now it's starting to make sense. And I was getting tired of it after the Uso split when we got into Cody and Jay, that team. But then they brought The Rock in. So we're building this something big. We're never going to get this again. So we might as well sit back and enjoy it.
We really have to. I'm going to try to do a couple things. One, I didn't do this off the top. But everybody, if you're listening, sit down. Have a seat. Sit on the couch. If you're walking, if you're driving, sit down, metaphorically. Because I'm not going to really try and put this conversation in a box. We're going to have Justin only for limited time. And thanks, man, for getting in here for sure. But
glad to do it.
Shug, you pointed out how, you know, Roman's schedule factors into this. I'm glad that I'm putting this at the beginning, because guys, we almost never got this. Justin, we've had this conversation casually, but if you think about it, this is a direct result of the pandemic. If the pandemic and the shutdown didn't happen and they didn't have WrestleMania in an empty warehouse, we would have gotten Roman Reigns beating Goldberg at WrestleMania, whatever that was, and that face push, which was his comeback from leukemia, would have lasted about 6 months before they ran out of ideas to keep him over. Roman went home, He had just had a few more. I think he had twins at that time. And of course, medical health sensitivity, that was taken into account. He went away. He didn't pop up until after SummerSlam. Intervened in the Fiend and Braun Strowman match on Friday night. We saw Paul Heyman next to him. The next week, he held up the championship. That reign has been going ever since. Paul Heyman's done some press recently about the origins of the Bloodline, and I don't know if he's ever said that, because if he addressed that, because if Roman just beat Goldberg, basically, I don't think that this incarnation of Roman Reigns was in the cards until he took that hiatus because of the pandemic. And thankfully, one way or another, we did get this story that, and also guys, think of a shout out really quick. When I toss it back, I'll let you guys get a shout out, because my shout out goes to Mama Rhodes. My best wishes are with Mama Rhodes right now, because to bring this up to speed, last night's Raw was bananas. Justin, you were texting me.
You
get to catch it East Coast. And I was like, I'm staying completely off of Twitter. I'm not catching any spoilers. I forgot that it was Bill's return to Chicago. So that already set the bar pretty high in my head. And we only have a week, one more Raw until WrestleMania. This isn't, you know, patty cake time. So Raw was off the chain last night. And we're going to talk a bit about the biggest segments on Raw last night and then expand on them on this episode. That being all of the Bloodline, main event, tag team, Cody, Roman, Rock, all of that development. And then we're going to get into CM Punk, Drew, Seth, maybe once we've lost you, Justin. But I'll let you guys get a shout out in, and we'll go a little more because I got some other things to throw at you guys.
Oh, Justin, you can go ahead with the shout out.
Oh, I haven't come up with anything quick enough, so I'm.
So we're both in the same situation.
Yes, I believe so. If you want to talk about wrestling, though, I'm here.
Okay, no, so I got a shout out.
Yeah.
Since we're shouting out the Rose family, shout out to Dustin, who's having to sit this whole thing out. That has to be terrible. Because we've seen that Dustin can still go, especially if involved with his brother. And it would be great in a world where we're seeing Shayna Baszler wrestle on the Bloodsport card. We can see Goldust show up, or even not even, it would probably have to be Goldust because he's Dustin everywhere else. Goldust show up to help his brother out, at least maybe put over the Rock a little bit. That right there would change the business.
In the same vein, I will compliment that by saying shout out and apologies as always to Jon Moxley, because man, he could be part of this too, and that could have been pretty pretty rad as well. So basically, the sum of our shout outs is sorry to everybody who's not involved that could have been involved in this. Who abandoned ship, about the time that, Vince left. And because you say the same thing, not part of the Bloodline story, but for Adam Cole, like, I just feel like if that guy was still in WWE at this point, he would be, pretty darn close to main eventing at this point.
Yeah, with his injuries, I really do. He left and he hasn't done anything because he's been hurt, and that just hurts my heart. The same with Kyle O'Reilly.
Yeah, that's a good point too. Yeah.
Glad you guys got some AEW shout outs in there, because I thought Dynamite last Wednesday was incredible. And I think they're kind of cooking, but now's not the time.
Yeah.
And Suge's well versed, Justin, I like to say, in his way he keeps up with the product. And it's one of the reasons I wanted to get him on here again, but I think that this conversation is just going to be too expansive to really also go deep in AEW right now.
Yeah, yeah, they're doing better, but it's hard to compete with Mania right now.
Right.
Yeah, and the Raw after Mania, that's what I'm looking forward to, because if you've been paying attention, everyone seems like they're saying goodbye to the Motor City Machine Guns, even people who are active in AEW. So that could really only mean they're taking the trip.
Would love to see it. Bring them on.
Oh, yeah.
There's still two spots for the Mania tag match.
That would be crazy. And they did it with the Hardys.
Yeah.
So we could see a Mania debut. Now, that would be crazy.
I think those guys would fancy a ladder match.
Oh, for sure.
Now, I got
the advisedness of that. I don't know if that's advised or not, but yeah, they would.
Yeah,
I'm gonna give a shout out to Sam Roberts, because he for one tried to steal some of your Marvel gimmick, Justin.
No, you know, I've seen that in the comments, a few people saying, hey, they ought, it's like, guys, I just made a video about it. I'm sure there's been stuff said about it.
No,
for months.
You're the first person to ever say that. That's yours.
Oh, okay, my bad.
Yeah, no, of course. Yeah.
But he also had a good, insightful point, and it was that this Bloodline story, it sucks everybody in, especially with The Rock in the fold now, because there's been a member of the Bloodline, of the Anoa'i, Maivia lineage, on programming for over 40 years.
Mm.
Raw's been weekly since the early 90s, since the origins of Raw, essentially.
Wow. What do you think about it? That's a good point. In the main event, even.
Nonstop.
Because, I mean, Yokozuna was a main event.
Yeah. Yep. From Yoko to The Rock to the Wild Samoans to Rikishi to Roman, I mean, to the Usos.
Don't forget Umaga.
Umaga.
He held us down for a cool little minute there.
Yeah. The start of the good.
No, it's been pervasive, and it's been hand in hand with WWE, essentially. SmackDown itself is a product of The Rock's catchphrases.
Mm-hmm.
Roman, and speaking of The Rock,
go ahead.
I hate to interject, but speaking of The Rock, we also saw something that has never been done before. I think we touched on it last time I was here. The Rock got his name back.
Mm-hmm.
So to for a family who has been in WWE since basically the beginning, to finally have someone of the family get their legal use of the name, that is wild. Like the business gave back to the family, and we rarely see that happen nowadays.
It's come full circle where The Rock, we're going to get, this episode's going to be called The Final Boss. I have a gimmick where every episode has the blank in it, and it's pretty succinct. It's a Seinfeld reference, which is a Wale reference built in, because I watch Seinfeld, but Wale has a, anywho.
The mixtape, yeah.
Yes, sir.
We here.
So, it's so easy to wrap the diehards into the story, the lapsed fans into the story, your family member, your parents who observed you being a fan, and like, Mom, remember The Rock? Well, his cousin now is doing something that hasn't been done since Hulk Hogan. Remember him? And it's like crescendoing in a beautiful way. You remember Dusty Rhodes? Yeah, his son. It's incredible, you know, in a nutshell. But Roman, man, I've been talking about my Roman bias. I want the guy to get his flowers and get his credit, because as we're, like I said, 13, 12 days away from Mania, I'm starting to feel like I did last year. And last year I had conviction that I wanted Roman to win. This year, I Cody is definitely grown on me immensely. Like, I'm in his corner. I want to see him raise the belt. And I guess I'm just having, like, separation anxiety, because if that happens, it means that this reign is done. Does that mean everything Roman's done and what his future is also, you know, cooked? Does that mean he's retiring because he's no longer the champion? Not at all. I think that he's dropped some seeds in his recent media rounds that don't write him off anytime soon. But I posed this question to Justin over text, where I was like, is Roman's story finished? And I'm gonna let y'all jump in, because Shug, I said, if you go back to the origin of this title reign, I don't think that they saw this multi-year campaign from the beginning, but they might have had an end game from the beginning. And I give Paul Heyman a ton of credit. I'll give him more credit than what is even probably due. But if they had some sort of end goal in mind, it probably factored in The Rock. It definitely didn't factor Cody Rhodes, because Cody wasn't in the company when the reign began. True. So yes, the story has gotten white hot. It's gotten all the support, the video game, everything. But does that mean that this should be the end of the title reign? Slash, is there a better way to wrap this up, or is there just more meat on the bone? You do run the risk of pissing off a lot of fans. And like you said, Shug, these things aren't promised. When you have right. them, sometimes you gotta take the opportunity. We're lucky that we're getting the rematch a year later. CM Punk, case in point, things can change at any given moment due to the human body. But it's a really tough decision to make. I'm starting to lean into the fact that Roman should win, because there's more to do. How do you guys feel?
I think everything you're saying is right, but you kind of made the point, the counterpoint right there, which is the human body. So you have basically perfect storytelling so far. You've extended this thing a year past what any of us really thought it was going to go. Imagine you put the strap, you keep the strap on Roman, and then Roman gets hurt. He has to give up that belt, something like that. I'm not saying this is probable. I'm simply saying I think we've reached a point now where you risk the storyline overextending its welcome. Now, we thought that last year too. This is really why I've said, and I think I said it to you via text, I'm willing to sit back and let them tell me a story at this point, because I just don't know. I don't know what the right move is anymore. All I know is this has gone longer than any other wrestling storyline in my lifetime, if not ever. I'd have to go do the research. But this consistent storytelling has gone on and on, but every story needs an ending. And does this feel like the right time for the ending? I don't know. It's never going to feel like the right time. That's what I'm convinced of. It's never going to be time for Roman's story to end, for Roman's reign to end. So what do you do? I mean, I think you've kind of got to pull the trigger. And if this is, and what better time than Mania, you know, with a white hot baby face. Although I will say, and I don't know how much longer I have here, but I will say my only critique of the white hot, maybe best Raw I've ever watched last night, was it felt like we're setting up for Rock versus Cody at Mania. That's not the match. They're having a match, but that's not the match. That pairing feels hotter than the main event, which is not a good look for me, because I want that white heat going into the main. And right now it feels like all of the energy is between The Rock and Cody. And that's great because it is incredibly hot. But that's not the match.
Yeah. You know, that's part of it where it's like, I don't know if Cody winning is the move, because it's going to be difficult for whoever is first in line if it's not an extension of the bloodline. And if that's on repeat, I don't know. We just got to wait. Like you said, I'm not really trying to predict what's going to happen either. I don't really want to. I'm going to be sitting down on April 6th and 7th with some good food and a beer and just like happy as hell to see whatever we want. Before you do go, did you guys notice the truck?
Yes.
Yeah. I noticed it the day, you know, like today, this morning.
Yeah, so it's everywhere.
There were some WrestleMania trailers, and by trailer, I mean like trailer trucks, in the parking lot when Rock was in full jabroni beaten mode, whooping Cody Rhodes in the rain in Chicago.
Yeah, that was cold.
For what, that was, oh my goodness, man, what a visual.
That was cinema right there. That was real cinema,
100%.
And in the distance of Cody like hanging over this cliff, essentially, you see this van that has John Cena and The Rock, and to tie this back into the Avengers and Marvel similarities, over the course of the Bloodline story, they built so many enemies, and The Rock coming back, it just, when they do fall, it has to sort of be at the hands of all the people they've wronged, boiled down to Cody Rhodes, if that's what happens at Mania. But it's like Cena got beat to smithereens by Solo Sikoa.
Yeah.
Rock will forever be paired with Stone Cold Steve Austin. The subtleties that we've been getting on TV haven't been accidental. Down to the red eyes in The Rock's bull. And the final boss and lightning strikes in his entrance. Like, everything's been finely tuned. And this is as shoot for the stars as you could want right now. But in this moment, this morning, the Tuesday after Raw, fans are starting to talk themselves into, we're getting John Cena and Stone Cold, along with Cody and Seth and Jay. And all these, and Sami Zayn, who knows, like, all these guys are coming back to get their comeuppance on the Bloodline. Y'all think there's any chance that happens?
There could be a chance. This is the biggest Mania of all time. I wouldn't be surprised if you see Austin, Hogan, Cena, whoever's available.
And this would be
my thought on this is just that, like, that would be so far out of left field, but I could see a world where basically Cody getting, because we're talking Bloodline rules, likely Cody's getting demolished by the entire Bloodline, maybe even new members. I would not be shocked if that played a part in it. Some new members of the Bloodline come out playing their part, and, you know, you get the ones you expect. You get Seth comes out, you get Jay comes out, and that's just not enough. And then, I mean, I could see a world where you do get some of those legends coming out as well to get on the right side of things. But what I really want to see, if anything like that plays out, is that after that happens, if you get Stone Cold, you get Cena, they come out, what I want that to equate to is that Roman doesn't get touched, Cody doesn't get touched. And after all the schmoz is over, you have those two eye to eye in the middle of the ring alone going, Now fight. And then you have your match. Because, man, that would be something else. To where, like, everything's removed. Everybody's accounted for. One way or the other. Every Bloodline member, all the legends, they're not interfering in the match. They're just making it fair. That would be a heck of an thing. Imagine those two doing the Rock versus Hogan moment, standing in the ring, eye to eye, looking at each other with the fans just going absolutely berserk. It's like, it's time. Let's go.
That match is going
Let me do one of the rocks right there. Right
dude.
There.
Yeah. That match is going to be like 70 minutes.
I hope so.
So, D, I want to use what Justin just brought up, like, and this question to really circle back to the question you asked before about, is this the right time to take the belt off Roman? And I have two questions to really help me get to my answer. The first question is the Bloodline bigger than the title at this point? Is the story bigger than the title? I will argue it is, because there's so many other places you can go if Roman doesn't have the title on you. You have to remember, Rock is on the board of TKO. So we can have Rock come in and do his best early 2000s Vince McMahon and try to screw Cody at every turn. You do have the possibility for John Cena and Stone Cold coming in. You could find a creative way to bring Stone Cold in a little later in the summer if you want to. Maybe have a disgruntled Triple H call Stone Cold, because that's the only person he can think of that can keep The Rock in line. The story is bigger than Roman at this point, because a lot of times Roman doesn't need to be on TV. And if it's bigger than Roman, it can be bigger than the title. So I think now is a perfect time to take the belt off Roman. Give Roman a break. You know, sometimes I see Roman in the ring and he still looks tired, you know. Like, I don't know if that's just great acting, or like sometimes I just catch a tired look on his face. I don't know if he's tired of Cody, if he's, you know, just tired in life, because remember, he's still fighting, his body's still fighting that cancer. So we don't know where he's at, because he's very private outside of this Bloodline thing. You know, he doesn't share with us what we don't need to know. So we can move the Bloodline forward without the belt at this point. And we've proven that when the tag team belts left the Bloodline. We still got to rebuild that division, but we can do the Bloodline without belts at this point. After 4 years, I think we can finally do it. But then the next question is, we talked about Hogan a little bit too. Do you want to change history? So we have to try to see where they're interested in going. Do you want to put Roman on top? Do you want to take Roman to where Hogan was and have him the longest reigning WWE champion? Or are we committed to Cody and committed to the Bloodline? We have to wait and see for that one.
Man, you guys are kind of selling me. Justin, your point of a good story needs a good ending. All right. You have an immaculate ending right there, you know, depending on how you wrap this up in that match, which will be dramatic to the gills. I do feel like that exhale from Roman would be happy for him. I would. You would have to step back and be looking like, damn. Good stuff, man. Like, we can't be mad at what you did with that. I mean, think about it. He's had it for a presidency, essentially.
Yeah.
The other thing, for one, yes, I think that the Sunday match, Saturday will be a lot of entrance and build up to The Rock getting physical and dramatic, but they won't, you know, do their grand finale fireworks show on Saturday night by any means. I do think that Sunday will be a masterclass in Jerry Springer-esque television. This is the same company that booked the NWO to come help Sting against Triple H and DX?
Oh man, I don't want to talk about that.
I know that the
kind of forgot about that. Yeah,
I know the regime is slightly different, and the bar is slightly higher for cohesive storytelling now. But don't put it past these guys to just, when the stage is the biggest, for them to play as many cards as possible.
As long as they play them right, man.
Right. You're just stacking draw fours on top of each other. Like, whoever's get this is going to be mad.
I do think that we're getting new Bloodline members in the fold. I think that that card has to get played, because why not? I don't know. You know, you got to be careful. It can't be too much. I do think that, Suge, we were texting a little bit about this. Solo Sikoa, not his name, not being on this WrestleMania card, coming off of the squash of John Cena, it just, the overall, he's taken like 4 pinfalls in over in a year and a half, going on 2 years in the summertime. That's almost malpractice unless he goes down in retrospect of this WrestleMania 40 as like a key deciding factor in the finish. I would want that to be the case. Or, you know, unless he is memorable coming out of Mania. Or else, what? Come on now. You can't do Solo like that. And then if you are introducing new Bloodline members, you might be getting lost in it all. But long story short, go ahead.
So with the thing about, and it, that's why I kind of make a G.I. Joe comparison, because how do you make the sequel bigger? You bring in The Rock. How do we grow? I thought when the Usos split, that was just it. How do we make this bigger? We bring in The Rock. And so that really has pushed everybody back, unless you were playing your role perfect. Like, the real MVP in the entire Bloodline stories has been the Usos. Except for Sami Zayn when he stepped up for a little while. But even the Usos were incredibly integral in what Sami Zayn was able to do. I'll say this. The Bloodline story might have started in this iteration with Roman, but it's going to end with Solo. I knew wrestling was cool again when somebody was cutting a promo. I think it was Heyman. And all Solo had to do was stand there and look like this. Like, so the problem with The Rock is he's so big, he takes up so much space in a story that you push people back. Roman got pushed back a little bit at first with The Rock's presence, because The Rock was doing all the talking. He's still doing a lot of the talking. Even Paul Heyman, as great of an orator as he is, he's been pushed back a little bit, because The Rock is doing all the talking. And so if you have The Rock doing all the talking and Roman standing there looking cool, what do we have Solo doing? Because that's what Solo was doing before. I think Solo is going to be a huge key maker in both nights of WrestleMania. That's why I'm not upset he's not on he's not in a match.
He's got to be.
He's going to be. Yeah, no, he's on
exactly
both
right.
nights.
He's in the main event.
Yeah. Both main events, if you think about it.
He's not on the card, but he's in the main event, guaranteed.
He's getting a check, and he doesn't have to go work a blood sport show. Let's put it like that. He's gonna get paid. He's gonna be okay. I just think we have to figure out the right way to bring him back into the story. And that'll probably happen. I think Solo's turning on Roman at some point.
No.
Yeah, I think so.
NXT
I think so.
Solo was fire.
NXT Solo was fire. To the ideals of bringing in a Bloodline member, I did see that Umaga's son did mend fences with Booker T, and so you know he's very close. I don't know if he's playing an eye like Jim Ross used to and who gets picked up and who doesn't. But he's working with Booker T again. He's also working with his cousin, Jacob Fatu. And if you don't know about Jacob, that boy is a beast. Those could be great additions to the Bloodline story. Either way they go, at this point, I could see them doing Bloodline Civil War. That'd be cool. Again,
I was thinking,
actually,
a little bit down the line, and I think that War Games this year could be, you know, Bloodline A and Wolfpack Bloodline, essentially.
Yeah,
that'd be kind of dope.
Final Bloodline.
I got to get back down to the the old workplace in a second, but I will say this, just in relation to what we're talking about here. Don't forget about the shot last night in Raw where Heyman was talking to Drew McIntyre, and just in the background, subtly, they were back there having a conversation.
Yeah. It's
out there. Check it out. There's stills and everything. They're having a conversation. So I think we've got 7 hours of broadcast TV left until WrestleMania, a main roster broadcast TV going to WrestleMania. I think the theme of those 7 hours is going to be escalation, because now we have seen that it's a battle of numbers. On SmackDown, it was 3-on-3. And that's what we had. But we had The Rock that wasn't there. People are going to start accumulating allies. And I think that's where we come to the main event, where the numbers game starts. And we've maybe got a few surprises in our hands. But I think 7 hours of escalation remains. And then we hit the main event, guys. And I couldn't be more excited about it. Cinema at its finest.
And just a quick reference point for WWE, whenever they do go back to the well with their marquee main event rematches at Mania, think Rock and Austin. The next one, you got Austin shaking hands with Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
Never thought you were going to see it. With Undertaker and Triple H, you get just a banger, and then you get end of an era. Like, you have the stakes are always leveled up. So, man, expectations really, really high. We're going to keep this going, but Jess, thanks for coming in, bro.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate it. Great to talk to you guys. And let's get ready. Got some exciting wrestling coming up.
Yeah.
Cheers to that. Let the mana flow.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. See you later.
Now, Shay, I got a couple more things. Talking Bloodline. Cody, who would you say is more the prodigal son to the audience in this story? And it actually, I'm making this comparison between, again, The Rock and Cody. Because The Rock was a wrestling, you know, everybody, he was beloved. Hated at first, loved to hate him, loved to cheer for him. Inarguably a natural, and will always go down as a wrestler alongside everything else he is. But the wrestling fans are never going to let him not be remembered as a wrestler. Cody Rhodes, similar fashion, you know, wrestling is his thing. He didn't venture into Hollywood the way The Rock did, but both of them had excursions and they're back. And Roman, as the tribal chief, as this most successful character within the bloodline, does have the weight of all of his lineage on him at all times. I think that that's what makes his character so dope, is that he's not a bad guy. He's a family man. Right. And this family thing has sort of made me think that there's no way that Rock is turning on him. Because the way they're emphasizing family, 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 it's going to be the two of them just butting heads eventually.
Yeah.
That causes friction and it causes a split. In my mind, the way family does. You don't go switch up on family, especially when things are at their worst. But I see both of those characters as prodigal sons, and Roman as like just this descendant prince who is like made to the throne. And these are just thoughts, honestly, bro.
I hear you. I would say Cody is definitely more of a prodigal son here than The Rock. We saw The Rock, you know, basically transcend wrestling, go to Hollywood, kill Hollywood, and not, you know, not just go to Hollywood and act a little bit like a bunch of wrestlers have before, but The Rock has become the, you know, the example, the prototype of how you should try to go from wrestling to Hollywood. And so what we're really watching is the prodigal son dealing with the master of his craft, because as you were saying, you know, we're always going to know him as a wrestler. And he's gotten to the point where he's dealt with so much adversity through his career, where he literally has the fans eating out of his hand. And I've never seen it done with such mastery before. Like, how do you call a group of people crackheads in one breath and then have them cheering for you by the next breath? We will never see something like that ever again.
Remarkable.
It hasn't been done. And I thought Heyman was the master of having an audience eat out of their hand. But I was wrong.
it's really ridiculous, dude. It's ridiculous, man. I'm really ready for Mania. This is essentially the conversation I wanted to have, to where we just kind of talk about all this stuff, because there's so many moving pieces at this point in time. We have no idea what direction they're going to go, like you said, on that night after WrestleMania, when
right.
Okay, but what's next? And you know, how are we getting there? But right now, it's just, we're all pretty much kids in a candy shop.
Yeah, absolutely. I at this point, I can't even say that there's a bad option. Even, you know, if Cody loses 2 years in a row, does he look a little bit lesser in the eyes of the fans? Maybe. But he would have had two matches over the courses of the weekend. You know, usually, like you were saying earlier, with the matches where we have two in a row, we rarely see someone win both. I think the only time that people usually win rematches at Mania or lose rematches at Mania, they're dealing with someone who has a streak. So the Undertaker beat Triple H twice. And he beat Shawn Michaels twice. And so the last time we saw something like this, The Rock was involved. It was twice in a lifetime, Rock versus Cena. And so if we're going anything by that, Cody wins this year. Cody's going to have his big moment. And one of the things that I brought up during the live stream of last Mania, after Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens won, I was like, hey, you know, this is a two-night show. What if this was the storybook ending and we're not getting that tomorrow?
You know, you asked earlier, you said, what do they want to accomplish more? And Roman winning does progress his status in the all-time canon of WWE pretty significantly. And this is why I think that, because if Roman loses, those who weren't the biggest fan of the past 3 years, I could see them finding a way to water down the title reign. Yeah, he defended it 20 or so times or whatever, but it was few and far between. He fought the same people time and time again. Every match had the same ending, blah, blah, blah. I could see that argument being made. And that's like, you know, folks saying, well, LeBron is 3-5 in the NBA Finals. He's never better than Jordan. Get out of here. I won't entertain the thought. If Roman beats Cody again, yes, it sucks for Cody. Sucks for the Coldster. big time. I don't think that all is lost by any means, though. What it does do, Roman vanquishes Cody Rhodes in a spot that they sacrificed two Royal Rumbles for. That would be something that you would have to tip your hat to. Because if you add Cody Rhodes' face to the mug shots that Roman already has, you're talking Daniel Bryan, you're talking Edge, you're talking Cesaro, you're talking Jay, you're talking KO, Sami Zayn, Drew McIntyre. The list goes on and on. You smack Cody Rhodes at the end of it with the next through it. He's done. He's not coming back. Like I said, it's like, ooh, never again. This won't be accomplished again. And now you do that, he's not losing his next match for the belt. Unless, you know, he does do the 3-4 month hiatus again, how he did last year from SummerSlam, from Mania until SummerSlam. But he's probably getting one more. You've then got to build to Rock versus Roman. You then pass Hulk Hogan. And you do all of this. By the time he does drop the belt, that is your greatest of all time. That is the GOAT. Roman made this argument himself. And I think when these guys do this, you know, it kind of, you know, wrestlers don't big themselves up enough, almost, in the real world. On the mic, they will 24/7. That's their job, you know? Get yourself over, right. work your character. But on that Pat McAfee interview, he kept it real, man. He was like, you know, I respect the John. Winning it time and time again, I don't think that amounts to what I'm doing right now. Tomato, tomato, you know, you have to make that determination yourself. It's a hard argument to make, though. And when he says that himself, it's hard for you to tell him he's wrong.
True.
And if he does all of that, that's essentially you cementing this guy is he's greatness, period. And he's still active. And now he does lose the belt. Right. We'll see the extent.
Yeah, more or less, he's more or less active. Because the reason I made the face is because some things don't hit me until I hear them again. John Cena was there for everything.
I love John, so, dude, too.
So you can't. To be honest, I wouldn't even say it's a tomato. It's apples and oranges. It's completely different orchards. Like you can't compare what Cena did to what Roman's doing right now, because Cena was there all the time. Some of Cena's injuries, some of Cena's title reigns ended due to injury, and you can't get injured if you're not there. So. But I do get it. Roman is, from what I hear about Roman as a person, he's a lifer. And so I would understand that he felt that way. He's not like, you know, we talked about a Dustin, right, and a Kyle and Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole. He's a WWE lifer. We're not going to see him pop up anywhere else. So he's going to believe what they tell him, and he's making his decisions based on the information he's been given. So I 100% see him saying something like that. And you know what? I'm so glad that he has the confidence to pull it off now. That's all I'm going to say. I'm loving where we're at. I feel we could have been here a lot longer. We could have been here almost 10 years ago if they would have just let him go heel when he beat Undertaker. That was the perfect time. But man, we rarely get to see history correct itself in a way in which we've seen it correct itself with Roman Reigns, because he was supposed to be the guy and it didn't work. And he was supposed to be the guy and it didn't work. And he trusted the process, and they had him out there talking about suffering succotash, son, And, you know, I feel like he finally put his foot down. He went home. He thought about it. And he was like, I need to do something different at this point in my career. Because, you know, who knows how long I have left. And that's very unfortunate. I don't know if you keep up with New Japan and the Bullet Club. I know there's like three of them right now. But Bullet Club War Dogs, they just lost a member. Because he had to retire, and the way he announced his retirement, it sounds like he's injured and he can no longer compete. So we really never know when the run is over. And again, this guy is 30, my age. So you never know when your run is over. And sometimes people wait until a little bit too late to try to reinvent themselves and try to switch things up. And I'm glad Roman didn't. John Cena waited a little bit too late. John Cena is a perfect story of somebody who waited way too late to try to switch things up, because by the time they were ready for his heel turn, they realized that not only would they be losing John Cena merch, because heels don't sell merchandise, or at least back in that day they did it, they would also lose their number one Make-A-Wish guy.
Yeah, and there was no heir apparent.
Yeah.
For some time.
There is now, but you know, it's too late right. For a John Cena heel turn at this point.
No, yeah. Definitely speaking, at the time, like if they were gonna pull the trigger, they hadn't effectively set up anybody else to walk in those shoes. Cody's promo last night was on the money, man. I'm rooting yeah. for him, dude. There will be no part of me that won't be happy / possibly emotional if he does win.
Okay. So I want to make this point real quick though. Since we started off with comic books, I want to bring it back to comic books. Someone else made a comic book analogy. Sam Roberts made the comic book analogy. We talked about it before, and we know that was totally Justin's idea, and Sam was copying him.
Right.
But what he said was, Cody is Batman. And Rollins is Joker. And if you think about it, where does that leave Roman Reigns? I would argue Roman Reigns is Bane. Does Batman need to beat Bane eventually? Yes. Does Batman need to be Bane right now? No. Bane broke the bat. So I can 100% see Cody finishing the story with Rollins, because if you remember when all of this started and Cody was like, who am I going to choose? Seth Rollins makes a great point. That's the Hollywood belt. This is the belt your dad would have worn. Challenge me. But then we had CM Punk and you know, we saw how that worked out and how we've pivoted, and that's led to arguably the best work of Drew McIntyre's career. So we still have places we don't necessarily have to end Cody's story at Mania, especially if you put it in that light. Like, that's the Hollywood belt. That's the big time belt. But I think a question that would need to be addressed at that point is, if not Cody, then who?
Yeah, if not Cody, then who's a great point? At that point, I think The Rock will hold a championship again.
And that would also,
if that's a futures bet, you know, like who's going to win the championship, blah, 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 who's winning the MVP. If will The Rock hold the title again, I'm smashing. Yes, he will.
I hear you.
Could be him. Could be a Solo. Could be a Gunther. We'd have to kind of see beyond that.
But what Justin was saying is, and this is a good point to go back to, after last night's Raw, I don't necessarily want to see Rock versus Roman. I want to see Rock versus Cody.
It would have to happen. That singles match definitely has to happen. One of the things that I thought about Cody finally finishing his story and getting the championship is that it doesn't have to be at Mania. I know it's teed up for WrestleMania, You know, it's an even number, one of those ones as well. Attends WrestleMania. This will go down in forever. But whenever that Cody moment does happen, that show is also going to go down in history.
It's true.
The way we think of Money in the Bank 2010, whenever that will happen, you reward the fans for paying attention when it does, outside of just the WrestleMania. And right, it doesn't have to be Roman, you know. It would suck. Cody would find a way. He'll find a way to keep everybody on his side, because he's done nothing but be a stand-up guy. And yeah, you still really can't root against this guy. So that's one. That's just one match. I would love to go down the card and spend more time and fantasy book some more stuff. But the other one that I think we have to address after Monday Night Raw is the World Heavyweight Championship match. Because I thought that segment was incredible.
Yeah, the CM Punk segment.
Dude.
That was it. So first you got CM Punk in Chicago. Like you were saying before, if Cody beats The Rock, whatever show that's on is going to be an instant classic. And we had one of those at Survivor Series when CM Punk came back. You had that one dude that was waiting to rep his city his entire life, but couldn't do it because he might not necessarily be a Bulls fan. You know, the Bulls not winning. He might not necessarily be a hockey fan, but wrestling CM Punk is back in Chicago in WWE after something we never thought it was happening. He finally got to rep his city. He did it on cue. That cinema, he came back. You have CM Punk, who, you know, 3 months ago, we didn't even think we were going to see him at Mania, but now we can confirm he will be there. Still stirring the pot with Drew McIntyre. And Drew McIntyre just took this whole story and ran off with it. He has been killing it on TV, on social media. Like I was literally in the group chat and they were like, you know, I didn't like the ending on last night's or last week's SmackDown. It was C+. I was like, no, you got three more shows left. They left it right where it needed to be. Raw picked up and ran with it. And now the only thing we need to do is continue to add Drew McIntyre into the story, because he's getting lost in the background of the Bloodline stuff. And that was his whole point with Seth Rollins the other week. Don't get so wrapped up in Cody stuff that you forget about me, because you still got to deal with me. And that's probably going to open up night two. I can most definitely see that opening up night two.
Yeah, no, man. Drew, for one, that the three of those guys last night, standing ovation if I was working in the back or if I was working for the company, because you could just kind of tell, man, from start to finish. I rewatched it actually this morning as well. Somebody posted a full clip on Twitter. It was 20 minutes. I was like, let me just rewatch this before we record. That felt 100% real from start to finish. Real in the sense that we know wrestling is a work. We know their scripts and, you know, all of that. But that was as real as it gets, because Seth versus CM Punk was the plan.
Right.
We can almost definitively say there was a lot of intentional beef between CM Punk and Seth Rollins that was highlighted before the Royal Rumble match happened. And with Punk not winning it, it left him clear as day as the World Heavyweight Championship opponent. So Drew getting that shot, I'm a person who's dealt with injuries, broke my leg, I've torn an ACL, I've, you know. What that does to you mentally, it's the most infuriating thing, because there's nothing you can do about it other than attack your rehab, focus on, you know, coming back and not just giving up in the face of adversity. But CM Punk being in his hometown last night, you could just tell that the energy was like coming out of him. And inside, the desire for that to have been me promoting my match at WrestleMania, my main event caliber match at WrestleMania versus what I'm actually doing. Yeah, inside, I'm pissed off. And on top of that, I'm about to air out on the mic when I get in here, because why is Roman Reigns saying that I'm bitching on national TV? Why is Drew McIntyre putting my name on his shirts?
Right.
Why is Seth Rollins wearing heels? Like, CM Punk, dude.
What's really going on?
He has a way of just always having something to say that is from the heart and that you just connect with. It's literally his
gift. And he has a way of talking about things without talking about things that I love. Like last night, Drew was like, I was supposed to be the chosen one. And he's like, well, who chose you?
He said, yeah.
Who did it?
Oh, really?
Who chose you?
Dude, that was so real, bro. Yeah,
that
was not on anything. For one, nobody handed CM Punk anything.
No.
In preparation for that show last night. It was CM Punk, you got about this much time. Try to keep it in this time. We're probably going to roll Seth Drew out. We're probably going to roll Seth out. You got it, though. We know we can't tell you.
Got to roll Drew out.
Right. Yeah. That was so quick and sharp. And you saw Drew crack a smile because he was like, damn it. You got me, brother.
You got me there. That was, and then even Drew, like, again, I said it before, the best work of his career. You know, he says, I'm not going to get in the ring with you because you Chicagoans probably have guns on you. You have weapons on you. I was, I can't.
You're going to try to injure me. And knowing what CM Punk said in the pipe bomb, when he said that, oh, who chose you? I got nervous, bro.
I did too.
I said, are they going to have to cut his mic?
Because I was like, how committed are they to this unscripted segment? Because
right.
a huge critique I had of Seth Rollins back when this whole thing broke and we were still trying to figure out what Cody was going to do at Mania is he stood at the press conference and he was just there. You know, he had no presence. He just kind of just...
Yeah, Rock I was there, man. Him. Yeah, he was fodder.
Okay. And so I'm glad he's finally getting to be himself, because if you remember way back in the day, Seth could cut a real decent promo. He was one of the best ones when they broke the Shield out into a trio. John Moxley only ever said the same thing. If you really listen to a good John Moxley promo, they're all the same. You just change where he's at and who he's fighting, and it's the same promo every
like,
time.
Look inside of me. There's you don't have what you don't have more of. You don't have more fight.
Me.
Yeah,
yeah. You can't beat me. That's okay.
I'm indestructible.
You said that.
Yeah,
yeah. I train with my homies, basically.
No, Seth, dude, I'm really, really happy for this guy, man, as well, because I'm gonna put the piece in this that might wrap this episode up in just a little bit, but his zingers he's landed a couple in the past month where you did need to see that from him, because his character's so goofy, and it's, dude, focus on what you're doing. You're like, are you chasing this bloodline story? Like, what's going on? But Mr. Midlife Crisis ripping the shades off in front of The Rock, that stuck. You can't talk about the match, what the World Heavyweight Champion should be doing when you're not the champ, when you're not in the match. That stuck. And it's like, dude, I'm happy that he can sort of pop his shit, essentially, because, dog, for the, and this is where I'll get into the comparison. For the last decade, man, like, this era, I'll enjoy reminiscing on it when that time comes. But Seth has been a Triple H for this generation.
Yeah.
Like, bar none. He's got accolades that are, you know, incredible, man. You know, he beat Brock Lesnar in a squash at WrestleMania. He's not ever been pinned by Roman Reigns. Ever.
He's the only person who cashed in on a main event and saved the entire Mania. He right. saved the entire show.
And he's built this belt that until, you know, further, until somebody else has a run better than him with this, this is his belt, you know, when we think back on it, until it gets 4, 5, 6, 7 holders. But yeah. like, this is his baby that he has built. And he got these Cena-like victories over guys like Finn Balor, Shinsuke, and Drew leading up until this rubber match that they're having, even though Drew's never beat him.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, no, man, Seth is on that level. I'll make this point that I've talked about here on the pod before, but I think that you'd appreciate it. The way we talked about the Bloodline mirroring Marvel. Roman, Seth, and Dean Ambrose, Jon Moxley, in the conversation with Justin, I compared to Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, and James Harden being okay. teammates as babies in the NBA, essentially. And in their young, only 3 or 4 years together, they were this close to the apex. They got to the finals. And before they could ever spin it back, the nucleus broke up. Yeah. But after the fact, Russell Westbrook got his MVP, Mr. Triple Double, broke records, did his thing, put Oklahoma City on his back, will be a legend.
Forever, got to retire that jersey.
James Harden is going down as a top 5 shooting guard of all time. Not only did he average 36 for a season, he came back and led the league in scoring and assists. Pushed the Golden State Warriors at their best to the very brink with just Chris Paul by his side. No slack to Chris Paul. And then KD took all the heat in the world for doing something that, like it or hate, love it or hate it, he's a champion. He's a finals MVP twice over. Legend. And it's like, you had those three guys as babies. Side by side, and then to see how they all blossom for the next 10 years is kind of what we're getting with Seth, Roman, and shout outs to Jon Moxley. How that comes back into Mania, it's nothing to do with all of that. Just appreciating what wrestling has been for some time now.
I recorded an episode about the Shield Trio, and I still haven't released it yet. But honestly, it's a great comparison. And yeah, modern basketball has really been built by those three and, you know, other guys along the way.
It has. And that's what it really has.
And that's what we're looking at here. Mox has been doing the best work of his career, arguably alongside Roman Reigns, Roman Reigns will have had better stories than Mox, but Mox definitely had better matches. And, you know, it's two different kinds of wrestling, again, with the John Cena thing, two different trees, two different orchards. But, you know, Seth finally got a belt. and he's finally at the top again. These guys have ran business in several, ran the business in several companies. Ring of Honor, if we're including Seth's work before, New Japan, AEW, WWE. I won't count NXT because they weren't there that long, even though Seth was the first NXT champion.
I was going to throw it in there.
Yeah. But the rest of them didn't find that success. That's really him capitalizing on his Ring of Honor success, in my opinion. But that's a different conversation. Literally all three of these guys doing the best work of their career. Wrestling is at an all-time high, no matter where you're watching. I know you're going to be probably...
The liver is going to be crazy.
Trick Williams.
Ladies and gentlemen.
We haven't... So, I'll say this. I was skeptical of the NIL deal. I don't know how they found Trick Williams, but the level of talent they've been coming out with ever since this Neil deal started has been insane. I think Lash Legend is most definitely a product of that. I want to say, but
Jakara Jackson
is a lot of people are, but I'm glad that Shawn Michaels and Triple H and everybody else down at NXT, even William Regal for the small part he gets to play in it, have found a nice balance of bringing in young, talented, flamboyant athletes who are moldable while also bringing in veterans and actual wrestlers who can learn the WWE style and flourish. And it's Tiffany Stratton. I don't know if you mentioned her.
Oh my God, another one. I love Tiffany, dude. I love Tiffany. She is beyond a natural, dude. Like, it's insane. And I was mad after Elimination Chamber because I'm like, everybody's on Beyond her now. And, dude.
So I'm glad.
NXT 2.0 has been gas from the origins. Just about.
Yeah, it floundered a bit. I don't even think, I think 2.0 is done. I think it's just NXT now. I think they kept the look. I'm just glad that WWE, AEW, and all of wrestling isn't necessarily dependent on the same pool of talent. Because if we're all chasing after the indie guy, then, you know, we rob the indies. The indies are flourishing. The indies are thriving. We don't need to do that anymore because we've proven that you don't need to go in a system to be successful. Matt Cardona, Zack Ryder is a great example of that. He's working everywhere. Matt Riddle, he's left WWE.
He's got to be AEW bound.
He is, but in a way you probably won't think. He's a New Japan TV champion, and they do have a working relationship. So he can literally appear on AEW at any moment. Mm-hmm. But Matt Riddle bounced back incredibly fast. I'm waiting for what Shelton Benjamin's going to do. Mustafa Ali, I had this one called since the summer. I was waiting to see what his 2024 was going to bring. He is probably the most sought after talent on the indies right now. So the indies are thriving. Major wrestling is thriving. To be honest, have you heard of soft ground wrestling?
I've not.
So in Uganda, they put up a makeshift wrestling ring on the dirt with a couple of posts and some string. And they call it soft ground wrestling. And it took the internet wrestling community by storm about 2 or 3 weeks ago. So when I tell you wrestling is thriving on every level, major, independent, and backyard, it's a great time to be. it's a great time to indulge. It's a great time to come back. It just, if you can't find some wrestling you enjoy, that's on you at this point.
Yeah. No, man, rising tide lifts all ships. None of this will be possible without our tribal chief, Roman Reigns. Acknowledge him. I'm just playing.
Facts.
I'm just playing, man. Bro, I think that did it, man. I can't wait to spin this back, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I got some other developments that I'll be happy to share with you once we wrap. But
oh, cool.
With that being said, dog, I'm about cooked. Can't wait for Mania. Yeah. Can't wait for these couple more shows. Can't wait for what's the show called? Dynasty?
Dynasty, yes.
Dynasty's gonna be a banger. I'm here for Mercedes. Dynasty's that division looks be better good. Already, literally.
MJF is probably coming back soon.
Mm-hmm. Why were people fantasy booking him so hard at Mania for like a week? That's not happening, man.
They took all this. People don't understand they do these things for a reason. They took all AW this merch is, down. Yeah.
They don't hide their cards very well.
Not at all.
But they know how to put on a damn good match. And it's gonna work they every do. Time.
You well, know. I mean, sometimes you don't need to be shocked.
Right. Right.
The secret doesn't always need to be a secret.
Nah, for sure, for sure. Yeah, man, watch the product, man. It's not too late. If you're hearing this, watch WrestleMania, enjoy, and we'll be here to talk about it some more, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Like, follow, and subscribe. Support our brothers. Go follow Shug. Go follow Justin. Follow the show. And with that being said, folks, if you smell with my rock shirt on.
Yeah, I noticed that, and I've been trying to keep it under wraps this whole time. I'm like, this man is hyping up the Rock in a Rock shirt.
I had to, bro, I did. I had a different shirt on, and I said, is there a shirt that I just need to wear for this? And I said, that's the one.
That's it.
Ladies and gentlemen, y'all have a good rest of your day. Thanks for listening. You can now stand up, get off the couch, go get a cup of water, feed the kids, do whatever you gotta do. Peace out.